Hello, my name is Karen Guglielmo, the executive editor for SearchCIOMidMarket.com, and I'd like to welcome you to today's expert podcast on optimizing your packaged application investments. I'm joined today by Ray Wong, Vice President and Principal Analyst for Forrester Research. At Forrester, Ray serves business process and applications professionals. He analyzes trends in enterprise resource planning for the enterprise and mid-market. He also delivers strategic guidance in software licensing and pricing, researches business processes such as the order management cycle and continuous customer management, and assesses functional areas such as customer data integration and the impact of service-oriented architecture, or SOA, on packaged applications. With this understanding of the overall ecosystem of solutions, technology, and system integrators, Ray provides strategy and guidance for many clients navigating through the vendor selection process. In 2008, Ray was recognized by the Institution of Industry Analyst Relations as Analyst of the Year. Welcome, Ray.
Thanks, Karen. Hello. It's a pleasure to be here.
And as I mentioned earlier, we're here today to talk about optimizing your packaged application investments. I'll spend the next 8-plus minutes asking Ray to answer a number of questions about today's topic. So let's get started. My first question today is, what are some ways mid-market CIOs can predict and potentially reduce the cost associated with their packaged applications?
You know, that's a great question. Let me suggest three things. The first one is start by buying only what you need. Oftentimes, vendor sales teams will entice you with more functionality, a suite, and giving you possibly more applications than you can possibly implement at once. And so by controlling the cost up front in terms of what you buy and buying only what you need, you can do what we tell people to do on the second part, which is avoid shelfware. Now, shelfware is software licenses you buy but don't deploy or use. Now, along with having too many licenses, you end up paying maintenance in most contracts for software not in use. And this gets expensive and quickly offsets any license savings you got on a discount. Why is shelfware important? Well, if you think about a typical software license, if you're paying, say, $1 million for software, you're typically paying 20% to 25% for software maintenance. So every 4 or 5 years, you're paying again for the cost of the license. So if you buy software, don't deploy it in 4 years, you've pretty much paid for a license and didn't use it by paying again for maintenance. So that is literally one of the quickest ways to spend more money than you need to. Now, the third thing is really to reduce the cost of maintenance. And this goes back to the other point where at 20% a year, you are paying for a new license every 5 years. Are you really getting that value? We've had some customers who spend $400,000 on maintenance or $100,000 on maintenance make their calls. And if you look at how many times you actually use the software, what kind of updates you have in place, what you're getting from the support teams, and if you're doing any kind of upgrades, and get an idea of how much usage you really have. A lot of customers might be spending $200,000 for maintenance and making 3 phone calls or 4 phone calls a year. That's $50,000 a call. Hopefully you're getting some updates. Hopefully you're upgrading. Hopefully there's some regulatory and tax issues that you're putting into the system. So if you follow just these three things, you could probably cut, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20% of your existing cost or more. So buy what you need, avoid shelfware, and reduce the cost of maintenance.
Great. And how about service levels? How important are they to getting the most out of your package applications?
So service levels play one role for key metrics like, you know, on-time and uptime, but there are other service level agreements. As you look at your maintenance contracts, you're thinking about when you first deploy the software. And let me take a step back. If you think about the software ownership lifecycle, which is really selection, implementation, utilization, maintenance, and retirement of software, in the utilization part of the software, that's where you start thinking about when you call for help, are there help desk requests, how quickly do they respond to your request. Most vendors will agree to a response time, either by email or by phone. Most vendors will not agree to a resolution time because you don't know what the issue is like. But it's being able to reach out. It's being able to get access to information. It's also being able to access knowledge repositories. That's one part of service level agreements. Now, if you're using software as a service, service level agreements become very important because you are 100% dependent on uptime. And uptime measures are important. Issues such as failed availability, it's not just getting a refund for, you know, 1 month's worth of subscription services. At some point, there's an impact to your business that you want to put into the service level agreements. So service levels play a role, especially when you're looking at training and support and maintenance, and very importantly in terms of software as a service, because there is no offline mode.
Okay. And are most mid-market companies implementing and managing the ongoing maintenance and upgrades of their package apps, or are they outsourcing or using third-party providers to assist in this? And is either one any better, in your opinion?
I think it really depends on the organization and the resources you have in place. If you're an organization that's completely focused on the business and the business process, you've got a minimal IT team, you know, you really don't want to spend a lot of time managing ongoing maintenance and upgrades, especially if your business isn't changing that quickly or rapidly, or in situations where your business is changing very rapidly and quickly and that you don't have the resources to spare. Now, we see companies typically take ownership of ongoing maintenance and upgrades more so than actually outsourcing it or putting into a third-party provider's hands. And part of the reason is a sense of control and a sense of destiny. We see that a lot in the mid-market. I think as organizations mature and they realize what's a commoditized process, what's a transformational and innovative process, we'll see more and more people push towards the outsourcing application management services area. That being said, if you have a big custom dev shop, you've got programmers on site, you're used to making changes on the fly and having a certain level of control and customization, that might not be right for you. But in most cases, we think that's probably the better way to go. You've got resources, you only got a limited amount of time, and given the fact that you know the mid-market is so competitive, you want to put your best resources on the more innovative and value-added areas.
Okay, I have time for one more question today. In this economy, it's obviously a buyer's market in terms of package application investments. And if that's the case, what type of deals can mid-market CIOs try to make to reduce costs and achieve quicker ROI in their investments? And should they also be looking for smaller, more customized packages or ones with more modules for future use? Any advice there?
You know, that is the raging debate, the second part of the question, but let me address the first part here. We are definitely seeing an emerging buyer's market, especially in the mid-market. There are a lot more vendors. It's not like the large enterprise where you're pretty much limited to one or two vendors in each category. On the deal side, most vendors are making it easier to reach them. And it's in terms of helping with cost structures, vendor financing options. People are proposing different deal terms. There's rapid implementation approaches. There are fixed price fees and implementation that are coming. People are looking at templated models. There's some software vendors that are really pushing in terms of being able to deploy everything on a box right away to reduce implementation times. So we definitely see, you know, these methods being deployed by vendors like Aggresso, Epicor, Lawson, IFS, Oracle, SAP, Microsoft Dynamics. These vendors are actively engaged in making this cost of ownership easier. Other options we see in this market is definitely SaaS. We see software as a service playing a role in NetSuite and Salesforce and Intuit are definitely out there pushing these different models to allow people to get up and running right away. So on that end, SaaS continues to play a significant role as people move towards looking at deferring capital outlays and being able to get to rapid implementation. Now, when you're asking about smaller, more customized packages or ones with more modules for future use, we are seeing a movement towards purpose-built functionality. Customers are looking for more vertical capabilities, more regional-based capabilities, richer usability, and all these areas really depend on what you're after, what vendors. And there are a lot of vendors that provide a broad horizontal footprint, and many companies already have those. If you already have that software, people are now looking for other areas that they can augment, such as talent management, incentive compensation, projects. And so they're turning to companies, you know, incentive management like a Callidus or project management, looking at a Tenrox or QuickAra or Deltek or NetSuite's OpenAir, looking at these ways to pipe in SaaS levels of functionality. On the other end, we're also seeing companies look at what can they invest in the future. And sometimes technology plays a role. Are you a Microsoft stack? Are you on an IBM stack? Are you on an Oracle stack? Where do you want to go? Are you on an open source kind of stack? And those are playing a lot of decisions as to how do we integrate and put a lot of these applications together once we get out of this current economic climate.
And on that note, that does conclude today's podcast. Thanks again to Ray Wong for speaking with us today, and thank you all for listening. Have a great day.